Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 107. I am the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan, and with me, as always, is the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Hi, I'm hard man. Sorry, I was collecting fan service in that.
We have
short second.
There. We have a lot.
Yeah, yay. Yeah, we do have a lot of fan service.
Yay! And joining us also is King Baby Duck Evan of the Boston Bastard Brigade / Wicked Anime.
I am so high on paint fumes right now.
Yeah, your house is getting redone, right? At this very given moment, you have new paint chips on your walls to eat later.
Yes, I do. Yummy, yummy paint chips. They go very nicely with a white wine, specifically a Riesling.
Nothing.
Yes, nothing beats absolutely.
The taste on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah, we are recording on Super Bowl Sunday. That is a thing.
And the Patriots. Woo!
One of my...
Tom Brady! Five rings!
One of my most favorite things that I've seen come out of this week is, you know that meme where it's like a group of people standing around having a regular conversation, and they're like, oh no, here come these people, and then it's like these barbarians that come running in that are pooping all over the place, and they're yelling absurdities. Well, there was one with like all the stick figures are wearing football team logos on their shirts, and it's like fans having regular conversations with each other. Oh no, here come the Patriots fans. Goodell's a liar! Five rings! Woo! You hate us because you ain't us! You know?
Although, to be fair, fans pooping is more akin to the Oakland Raiders.
Sports jokes.
Everybody poops.
Yay, sports jokes.
5% of our audience will understand those, and they'll be like, ha ha
ha. I think you're being kind of generous there.
We're going back to our roots for this episode. It's gonna be a pretty run-of-the-mill Wicked Anime episode. But that's not a bad thing, because we haven't had one of those in a long time. We actually have a topic.
But we do have to finish before kickoff.
We do have to finish before kickoff, so.
I know. Come on, we gotta watch the new Super Bowl commercials, man.
I'm just waiting for the trailers to drop. Usually they have a super awesome trailer to drop during the...
It's not gonna be Star Wars, though.
It's not going to be Star Wars.
Yeah, they told us it wasn't going to be Star
but
Wars.
But
I hear it's going to be... I know one of it's going to be Ghost in the Shell.
Really? They're going to do a new Ghost in the Shell? Okay, well, one of the other ones that I heard is they're also going to do Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh. I'd be more excited because for Ghost in the Shell.
For the last 2 years, or 3 years, they've done a Marvel trailer first. Way back
in the
day.
Well, if that's the case, I'm thinking it might be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
You think so? I mean... That would be cool, but yeah, I think that they would go with something that nobody's seen before. You know, we've seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2 stuff, but we haven't seen anything for Spider-Man Homecoming. So
we've seen a few things here and there.
We've seen clips from it, yeah. But
and there was a trailer. It played with the Rogue One.
It did.
Yeah.
Did it, Andrew?
What
did Spider-Man Homecoming play with Rogue One?
Maybe.
Remember, it's the one where the first thing you see is a bunch of robbers and Avengers masks?
Yeah. I mean, I saw that trailer beforehand. I don't remember if I saw it for Rogue One. I don't remember much about Rogue One. I mean, or about, like, previews of Rogue One. I remember Rogue One just fine, but...
But, yeah, I don't know.
I like it.
That's one of the things that I look forward to most in the Super Bowl are the trailer drops, because they're theatrical trailers, the ones that are like 4 minutes long, and you're like, oh, I never want this to end.
And then it does, and then it's back to football.
Yeah, and then it's back to football. Five rings! Ah! So, to get into where we're going today, we have to ring the news bell.
Bing!
News.
Yeah. Andrew's trying to find all of our fan services.
There's a lot, guys, and I'm just really, really trying hard to make sure that I don't skip over anybody, because I would feel really bad.
I know, there's a nice British man who tweeted to us thanking me for a suggestion, too, I know.
Yes. But before we get into the news, I want to talk about the topic that we're talking about today, because for the past two episodes, we've been talking about the new season of anime, and one of the things that we keep mentioning is this show's really cute. A long time ago, Wicked fan Mike, he sent us a topic that he wanted us to talk about the evolution of character design, which I think is a great topic for this point in time.
Oh, because, for sure. Especially because I know all about
that. And all we've been talking about recently is like, oh, this show's really cute. This show's really cute. This show's really cute. This show's really cute. And so where did we get to this point where we transitioned from the show's really good to the show's really cute. You know what I mean? We could talk about those sorts of things, and we have a whole bunch of other things to go off in that. So we'll talk about that later. But first, in media news, we got some exciting announcements for otaku everywhere about the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Yeah. And that is, they announced the ambassadors. Well, some of them anyways. There's going to be a lot of ambassadors, I imagine, but they are announced their first round, which includes Astro Boy, Sailor Moon, Shin-Chan, Luffy from One Piece, Naruto, the cat thing from Yo-Kai Watch.
Shibanya.
Goku, of course. And then is this...
It's Magic Pretty-Cure.
Oh, yeah, Pretty-Cure.
It's Pretty-Cure.
Yeah, right? So that's...
is really weird. Is Pretty-Cure really that popular that they could be...
I think so.
Oh, considering that they've been popping out a new series of that every single year, then yeah, it is pretty popular.
Yeah,
I'm not even aware.
But if our friend from Scarlet Rhapsody was on, she could fill us in on how popular.
Yeah, she's the reason why I know what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the most surprising first round ambassadors that we didn't get was Mario. I'm super surprised that
He's a Nintendo character, not an anime character.
Shibanya
is a video game character too.
Yes, but they did make a Yo-Kai Watch anime.
But it's Japan.
I understand
the Japanese ambassador, because remember at the 2020 announcement, and it was Mario Doraemon, you know.
Yeah, like where is Doraemon in this?
Yeah, that's
list?
True. But
Doraemon's not on here. Lupin the Third's not on here. I'll even throw in Jotaro Kujo because of how iconic of a character JoJo is.
But universally speaking, JoJo is not as popular as Mario. And even Doraemon, I can understand they wouldn't throw in the first round because he's not universally known as well as the rest of these characters. But I mean, Pretty-Cure is not as universally known either. We just know them better because we're...
I mean,
because
they already had Sailor Moon in there, so, like, they had somebody representing the female shoujo crowds.
Right, yeah. I like this, that they're going head-on into this, saying, like, hey, guess what? We got ambassadors, and they're anime characters.
Oh, yeah, that's
totally cool. So we are already amped up for the opening ceremonies of the 2020 Olympics are going to be super nerdy, and I want to go.
Yeah, me too.
I want to go. So, that's cool. How about we talk about something sad that Masada Nakamura, the founder of Namco, passed away. The good news was he was 91 years old.
Yeah.
So, for the first time in a long time, somebody in Japan died who died at an appropriate age.
Yep.
But
he
was an iconic founder of, like, video games. Pac-Man and Dig Dug and all those awesome... Galaga... All those awesome things he had a hand in creating, and they're, you know, coming to fruition. It's really sad, as a video game enthusiast as myself, where my career was originally in video games, and, you know, you think of iconic people who set that path forward ahead of you, and, you know, and seeing them die is still really...
Yeah.
It's still really sad.
Oh, don't forget Pole Position.
Yeah, oh yeah, Pole Position 2, like one of the first racing games ever. And was that one with the actual steering wheel too?
Yep, it was.
Hey, do you think when Nakamura died, he folded up into a ball and went, boo, woo, 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 boo.
That's really... I don't think he did that. Maybe he just made the sound effect.
Those were his dying words. Oh my gosh, that would have been the coolest thing ever.
He's got something to say. He's got to say something to say. What is it? What? Ooh, woo, 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 wop, wop.
I imagine everybody just being like, what happened?
Man, I'm sure he's fine. But no, it is really sad losing an icon like that, and we'll miss him. He did such great things for the industry and set forth such wonderful things. But next up, to finish off media news, we got a really exciting announcement from Crunchyroll. And their new thing is that they are doing a quarterly tradition where they're going to have anime theater nights. And they're going to put something anime or Japanese related into movie theaters every quarter as a special event. And we get to go to the movies and watch them. How cool is that? Well, now, Funimation.
I brought this up on my recent episode of No Butters or Race. And there are two sides of the coin of this for me. There's like, for one hand, it would be awesome to be watching like American premiere of movies and such. Like there's the upcoming No Game, No Life film that's coming out, the new Black Butler film, and there's various other movies, even like live action versions, like the live action Gintama. Those would be great to show. My main concern is if they're doing this and they're just going to show episodes that are already on Crunchyroll that you could already just stream, because to be honest, I don't think they're going to look as good on the big screen as it does on your television set.
As opposed to that, though, how often do you get to go and hang out with your otaku brethren and just, like, geek out over an awesome anime film in the theaters? I mean, when we went
to
see...
When I was in college, it was every Tuesday.
Well, when we got to go to the theaters for a couple special Fathom events, I forget who put them out, maybe Funimation? Oh, no, or... I think they might have been third party. But anyways, we got to see the Bleach movie, one of the first ones.
Yeah, that was a while. That was a long time ago.
Shattered Memories? Memories of Nobody. Memories of Nobody? Was that a movie?
Yeah, that was
anyways,
a movie.
That was a really good movie because that was in our really early anime phase, and we were pretty weeby back then. And
it was like after our first Anime Boston, I believe.
Yeah.
So like
we were eating it up. We were like, yes, give me anime, anything.
Maybe it was before. No, it was the summer. It was the summer of 2008 when that came out in the theaters.
Yeah, and it was fun. We had a good time. It was just a very fan service-y, not in the original or typical Japanese way, but it was just like a very in-your-face, here's things that you want out of Bleach movie, which was fun. And then there was one time where we got to see the live-action Death Note movie, the first one, which was a good film. But then there were people sitting behind us who were riffing the entire movie and they sucked.
I'm sorry, right. Did you like the exposition from the movie and the original anime and the original manga that just went on and on and on and on? I'm so sorry they took out all the boring crap so you could get to the exciting stuff.
I thought it was a good movie.
I thought it was good too. I liked it. I even liked the L movie, the spinoff that happened afterwards.
Never saw that actually.
It's pretty good.
Was it called L Rules the World?
L Change the World.
Change the World. But so this Crunchyroll thing is starting in April, and their promo that they released had clips from Nanbaka, Bunko Stray Dogs, Bloodivores, which I don't think anybody ever watched.
No. and so the other one that nobody ever watched, there was another one they were showing.
Nanbaka was pretty popular.
Well, no. Nanbaka, I know, is popular. I know Bunko Stray Dogs is popular. But Bloodivores, and there was like a fourth one that they were showing that nobody was really watching.
Right, if you noticed, I didn't even write it down.
There we go, because no one cared.
I had Bloodivores. I at least had Bloodivores in my queue.
But here's what I would like to see him do as well.
Okay.
Because as you know, a lot of anime, a lot of popular ones, get OVAs that never get seen here in America. I would love them to show that here in the States on the big screen. Like, there's the Kinmoza one. There's the recent Danmachi one. There's the Maruchan one. There's the Monster Musume one. Those would be fun to watch on the big screen.
There's a new game one coming out, too. There's a new game OVA.
Yes.
Really? Yeah, and it's one of those OVAs that's only coming out on the DVD, so obviously nobody's going to get it here.
Right. Gabriel Dropout, too. Both the Gabriel Dropout and the No Game one. Oh, and also the Danmachi one. They're all Hot Springs episodes.
Yeah, you know, they are. And actually, the one for Food Wars is a pool episode OVA. Mm-hmm. So, that sucks.
It's not as good as a Hot Springs. Everyone's still covered up.
You shut your mouth.
No, pool episodes are great because swimsuits are great.
Mizuki all the way.
And as long as Mito is in it. As long as she's in it, it's perfectly fine with
yeah, me. I can't wait to see her in a bikini.
You can see the boobs on the big screen on an anime Crunchyroll night at the movies.
It was like that joke in Gurren Lagann where they had their beach episode and everybody loved to see Nia in her, you know, in her swimsuit, and then Yoko comes out and she's more covered up than she is in her regular outfit, and everybody's like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, like, I'm not... it's like, I don't like this. Like, what the heck? She's wearing more clothes than she normally does.
Yeah, so...
It was just a really funny joke in general. What are we talking about?
We were talking about OVAs.
Oh, okay.
And we want Crunchyroll to show us OVAs in the theaters. But this actually leads into a very good segue, because the piece for gaming news that I have was sent to me by a million people. And this was... The only exclusive thing when you buy the Konosuba Season 2 DVD.
I cannot believe this.
Oh my god, I want this.
See, and the thing is, yeah, we got, this is one of the things that we got from a ton of fans for fan service.
Yeah.
They, everybody was just like, oh my gosh, Konosuba's coming out with a game, and it comes with the DVD.
If you name one of our fans, they sent it to us.
Yeah. Well, no, and there's another one like that too, which is coming up later.
Yeah. This game... I'll post the trailer in the description because it is fan-frickin-tastic. Mm. Like, I want to play this game so bad.
Me too. I know it's like it's supposed to be like a Mega Man sort of clone, but it's a fantastic Mega Man clone. Unlike Mighty Number 9.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a mix between Mega Man, Metroid, and Castlevania. Yeah.
And Kid Icarus, too. Throw that one in as well.
Right, oh yeah, because the action in it looks like it's going so fast, but in the trailer, there's the Mega Man-style boss fights, which Aqua seems like she's going to be the first one, and then, oh my gosh, the one with, like, Darkness, she gains health when you hit her, because, like, she likes it.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't actually, you know what?
The one that I laughed at the most was Megumin.
Yeah.
Where Megumin
she did her explosion.
She just did the explosion magic, and then her sprite drops to the ground.
Falls flat on her face,
and you can just freely attack her after that. And it's just like, oh, great, this is awesome.
Yeah, oh, so good.
It's like, true to the show. Like, somebody needs to, like, I know it's a bad thing to say, and as someone that, you know, has Crunchyroll and everything like that, someone needs to, like, find a way to rip it, translate it into English, and just post it online.
Yeah. No, I want to play this game real bad.
I think, me too. I think there will eventually be a way to play.
I hope so. But yeah.
Listeners, if you find out a way, please let us know.
Yeah. But very rarely do we get games that are exclusive to buying DVDs, and I think Konosuba is the perfect thing to do because its obscurity in itself is just a perfect testament to, you know, here's a video game to go with it instead of an OVA. So.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Fire Emblem.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Evan, you were playing, right, as well?
Fire Emblem Heroes. I've been playing it a little bit. I haven't dove into it deep enough to give, like, some first impressions. But, you know, it looks pretty cool so far.
It is. It's very nostalgic to anything Fire Emblem. Almost every single Fire Emblem character is in it.
Is Marth in the game?
Yep.
That's the joke for casual Fire Emblem players. You know, whenever you find a casual Fire Emblem player, the first question is always, is Marth in this game? Which we elite Fire Emblem players make fun of you. Because my buddy is playing it, but he hasn't played any Fire Emblems. He just likes to play gacha-style mobile games. And he's just like, dude, look who I got! And it was Marth. And I was like, yay, you got Marth. Like, I was just like, look who I got. And it's just like a list of all these characters that I know personally. Especially like... See, my goal in the game is to get all the waifus that I married. You know, all the, like, the characters that my
character
married.
You have a waifu army?
Yeah, army of waifus. So, I already got Oboro from Fire Emblem Fates, specifically from Birthright. So that was exciting. Like, I got her, I was like, no way, go Oboro! But I'm going for Sully, because Sully is my waifu of all waifus in all of Fire Emblem ever. So...
Is she in it?
Yeah. I'm going for the specific grabs for her. So, but I haven't gotten her yet. But I did get female Korin, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I have Korin from Fire Emblem Fates, who's the main character. Oboro. I think everybody gets Virion, but he's from Awakening. And then I got a couple other four-star characters, which is pretty cool. But those are the ones I'm most excited about.
Are you glad you got to talk about your waifus?
A little bit. But so the gameplay is really neat, too, because it is a Fire Emblem style tactics game just on an 8x6 grid. So it's cool because you use your finger to slide them around into the tactics. The same rock, paper, scissors format that they've always used for Fire Emblem still exists. It's not as complex. So, like, if you buff a character to a certain amount, you don't have any chances of missing and stuff like that. Characters won't miss all the time. They always hit, and it always tells you how much damage they're going to do, so you can kind of math out the thing. So the strategy isn't fully there, but it does still feel like Fire Emblem, and it actually forces you to switch out your teams every once in a while, which is really neat. So if you build up, like, this massive army, they give you 200 slots. You can collect up to 200 characters from random pulls before you have to start, you know, wasting your money as a person to do that. So it's really cool. And you can link it to your Nintendo account. So I have my mobile game linked to my Nintendo account. By doing that, I get extra like silver platinum points from Nintendo, and I can buy experience points from Nintendo themselves through the gameplay. And it's just a really neat idea, because they do the same thing with Super Mario Run, which is another mobile game that's coming out.
Super Mario Run?
Yeah, Super Mario Run is
that like a BitTrip style game?
No, it's a 2D scroller platformer where I think you just tap the screen to make him jump and stuff.
Yeah, it's BitTrip.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. It's like...
Well, anyway, but it's 3D. It's 3D Mario.
Oh.
So you get experience points for doing all that stuff, and you can buy stuff for your mobile game to boost your characters, which is really neat. It's a really cool concept, and I've played a lot of gacha-style games before, you know, like Seven Knights and Naruto, and if there's an anime out, they usually have a gacha-style game for it. Like, I think Naruto, One Piece, Dragon Ball Z, and Bleach all have games, which I played the Bleach one, and it was fun for a little while. I played it for a long time, actually, never mind. I played the Naruto one for a little while, that wasn't as fun. But now that the Fire Emblem one's out, I'm back on to playing them, because I quit all of them. But, yeah, so that was neat.
Great.
Well, because like a bunch of fans were asking, was like, "Are you guys playing Fire Emblem?" I was like, "Yeah, of course."
It's time for some strange news.
Strange news.
So, I got one piece of strange news, and it's about a karaoke company called Joystick FR, and they've created a machine that is getting more males into the karaoke bars.
And oh dear, do we have to guess what it is?
Do you want to guess what it is?
Is it a naked karaoke bar?
Is it like a karaoke equivalent of a sex robot?
Close. It is a karaoke machine that rewards you with naked females, like, and more explicit pictures the better you sing.
What?
So yes. It's there are actually Mahjong games, like Mahjong arcade games, that will do the exact same thing. The better you are at Mahjong, the more naked ladies you see. I played one in Japan 10 years ago.
And how many naked ladies did you see?
I saw 3.
Ah, you suck.
I didn't know this.
Actually, I don't even know
how to play Mahjong, but apparently I was good at it. Enough to see 3 naked ladies.
Good enough for 3 naked ladies.
It's weird, but it's good.
There's this taboo, though.
Oh my gosh.
For karaoke bars. There's a really big taboo in going to a karaoke bar by yourself. If you go to a karaoke bar by yourself, that means that you don't have very many... Because karaoke bars are popular, right?
Yes.
And they have a lot of people that go to them, but they usually go in groups. I would not want to go in a group of people if I was going to go sing at the karaoke booth that was going to reward with naked ladies.
Well, see, the thing is, too, is for me, in general, when it comes to karaoke, I would much rather sing in front of a bunch of strangers and not just my friends. You know, you go to a karaoke bar, you have a group of friends, and you all take turns, sing songs. It's fun. Whee!
There was this bar I used to go to in Boston that did that every Saturday night. It had, like, the nice big stage. Everyone could watch you sing, and it was a lot of fun.
I don't know. It's just, I don't feel like anybody would go to a karaoke bar and with a bunch of people to go to the naked lady machine.
You don't know Japan enough, do you?
I don't. I guess I don't know Japan well enough, because I was like, oh, hey, you know what's a fun date idea?
Hey, this is awkward.
Yeah.
Well, here's my question. Now, for us, they have the naked ladies, but for the women, do they have ones of, like, naked dudes?
They didn't say, but that is a very good question.
Well, see, unfortunately for Japanese people, they have that huge censorship law. So a naked dude would just be like his upper torso, which you can find anywhere. Because, I mean, they'd have to censor his lower bits the same way they censor ladies' lower bits, but they don't censor their chest. And
should we change the subject before it gets really uncomfortable?
Oh, no. It will never get uncomfortable because it is time for Japan's Fetish of the Week! Yeah! That was as strange as got.
Our Fetish of the Week is... I already know what it is because we have to do this.
Literally. Fan sent it to us.
Every single fan that regularly and unregularly talks to us sent us this Fetish of the Week. We got it from Tempsu. We got it from Gerardo. We got it from...
Scott.
Did we get it from Scott?
We got it from Scott.
We got it from Iceman. We got it from Mike.
Yeah.
Like, everybody emailed us about the Virgin Killer sweater.
Yeah.
And Peter Payne has been posting about it on a daily basis.
We've been seeing a lot of anime character fan drawings wearing the sweaters.
Yeah,
already.
I've seen almost every single anime character I can possibly think of wearing one. It's just that new thing. Like, they had the keyhole... cat keyhole lingerie before, and now it's the
They had the turtleneck one.
Yep, turtleneck with the viewport. It's unbelievable what weird fashions can do in Japan.
Japan really likes their sweaters.
Yes.
Yeah, like that mom sweater style.
If you want to destroy my sweater.
Was the origin of the Virgin Killer sweater a fashion statement, or was it a character in an anime wore it?
I feel maybe
it was like an accident at a fashion place. Oh no, I ripped the back of this sweater. Yeah,
I almost feel like it was only drawn. Like, they drew it on an anime character and it just took off. Like, everybody just started seeing it. It got popular and everybody started drawing this sweater on their characters. Like, I've seen Rem in the sweater. I've seen, like, almost all the Infinite Stratus people in the sweater. Like, it's just crazy. They just take the sweater or whatever fashion statement is popular at the time and put everybody in it.
Yeah, and then they also have characters of wearing it backwards, too.
There's one of Mega Man I saw wearing it backwards.
She's wearing it backwards, and then, like, the ribbons that you tie around the back, because it's like a mix between an apron.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, a ribbon that you tie around the back of the neck, and, like, you turn around backwards, and the ribbon goes down and, like, censors the chest if they don't have the hair that can censor the chest.
Yeah.
It's a swiping.
But just overnight, it just, like, punched everybody in the face. It's just like, this is your new fetish now. Yeah! Why do they call it the Virgin Killer sweater? Is it because, like, this is the attire now that you wear to sacrifice virgins to the gods to keep them appeased? Like, when you jump into a volcano, this is what you have to be wearing? And that was Japan's Fetish of the Week!
Thank you, fans. Thank you, fans, for that, because you guys were right on top of that. You guys know us way too well.
I prefer the cat keyhole than...
I do, too. I agree with you. I do, too. I think that one's way better. But I think it's funny because, I mean, if this is a real fashion statement that you can find in stores, you're not going to see, like... Well, I don't know. Will you see in Japan, like, fashion store saying, here's our Virgin Killer sweater?
So, Wicked Fan Jeffrey had sent us
a tweet.
A tweet, yes. He tweeted at us, and he said he wanted to know... This wasn't anime-related, but it's very near and dear to my heart, that he wanted to know our waifus for the DC Universe specifically.
Which is way too easy for me.
Yeah,
I don't even have to think about this one.
See, the weird thing for me is, like, if you name a redhead in the DC Universe, that is my waifu. But there were so many characters for me. But then Gerardo, like, fired back and was like, well, then you gotta do Marvel, too. I was like, that one's way harder for me.
Yeah, because, you know, Marvel sucks.
What?
What?
I would say, but I do have to say that I always crushed, in the Marvel Universe, I always crushed on She-Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
She's something.
Wait, are we going right to Marvel, or are we doing DC, too?
Oh, no, we're definitely doing DC. It's just that Marvel is going to go way faster than DC.
Spider-Gwen.
Oh, my gosh, you're so right.
Spider-Gwen is amazing.
So true.
Yeah.
Spider-Gwen's design is probably one of the most beautifully designed superheroes I've ever seen. It's so smooth and so It's so perfect. It's great.
I love it. And it's funny because she's so new. Like, she's so recent.
Yeah.
And she's got this very anime-esque look to her, too, if you think about it.
Well, you know what really helps? It's that hood.
Yes.
She's wearing a hoodie, and it looks so darn cool that it's just, it's great. I love it. I love the Spider-Gwen hood. I love the Spider-Gwen look. It's perfect.
I don't even know where the whole Spider-Gwen trend came from. Did they start, like, did Spider-Gwen start because it was an alternate universe line of comics where it was like a what if Gwen got bit by the spider instead of Peter?
Well, according to the Wikipedia, she actually debuted in Edge of Spider-Verse number 2 as part of an alternate universe sort of thing, and people were just so floored by the idea that they were like, we're going to keep this. We're going to continue bringing more Spider-Gwen to people.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
It is alternate reality designated Earth-65.
Oh, there's a perfect tie-in picture from a Bleeding Cool article. I don't know why, but Spider-Gwen and Batgirl standing next to each other. And it's Batgirl when Barbara Gordon started being Batgirl again, which was cool. Although I have to say that I think my favorite Batgirl era was when Batgirl was Stephanie Brown, because she was a spoiler in the DC Universe before she became Batgirl. And then before she was spoiler, she was Robin after Tim Drake stopped being Robin for a while.
Just so you guys know, if you get Jonathan onto Marvel, he knows. If you get Jonathan onto DC, he knows everything about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know quite a bit about DC, especially before the New 52. The New 52 was an atrocity, but I loved me some pre-New 52.
You knew so much about Green Lantern, it was crazy.
I still know a lot about Green Lantern, and I think everybody gives Green Lantern a lot of grief for no reason.
For DC is easy and hard because there's a lot.
Catwoman.
What?
Catwoman.
Oh, Catwoman. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Selena Kyle. Catwoman.
It has to be that, like biker costume, Selena Kyle, the short hair Selena Kyle, like, no questions asked. It's that Selena Kyle. I love Catwoman so much, and I always have.
Yeah. I've always
I would say,
liked...
like, for me, is the Arkham City version.
Well, that's the current one that I'm talking about.
Yeah. There's some people know, just in case.
She had her own comic book series. That's kind of the direction it went in.
Yeah, I really liked... I've always... Like I said, I had a thing for redheads, so... Oracle was super cool. I loved Barbara Gordon.
Barbara Gordon is really cute.
Yeah. But I also have always, 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 always crushed on Starfire. Comic book Starfire.
Oh, that's a good... I really liked... I mean... There's always Raven, especially the new Raven, like the brand new Raven that came out.
In the rebirth.
Yeah, in Teen
Rebirth. Titans.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is her cool. Design is beautiful.
Okay, but that was from John Boy, who was the artist. But now there you got this new artist on it, and it's not good anymore. Like, the art changed for the new Teen Titans, and like the art changed so drastically that it's not good anymore.
Yeah, it's not enjoyable to read. But then there's also, I've always had like this small crush on Supergirl, especially from the Apocalypse era, you know, the Batman versus Superman, or Superman-Batman mm-hmm. era. And when Supergirl was introduced, she was drawn by Michael Turner. And Michael Turner was one of my favorite artists at the time. And his art, it still kind of holds a place that's near and dear in my heart. Rest in peace, Michael Turner. But Supergirl has always been a really, really cool character to me. So I've always loved reading Supergirl. I even started reading her, and I started reading Supergirl in New 52 as well, which was not good.
I would say, as an alternative for me, I would say Shiera Hall, or Hawk Girl, as people like to refer to as.
Yes.
Yeah, Hawk Girl's pretty cool. She's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, especially like the Justice League cartoon, because I was a really big fan of her, because she was like really surprisingly funny on the program.
Really adult, too.
Yeah.
Like, she had a lot of issues, like relational issues.
I'm trying to think of anybody. Oh, I can go for a really obscure one. My favorite Green Lantern was Aresia. I don't know what
she like the little elf girl with short blonde hair.
I don't know what it is, but I have a thing for aliens with orange skin. Not humans with orange skin, because that's something very different. But aliens with orange skin, like Starfire and Aresia, I fall for instantaneously.
Well, Technicolor skin is just a cool thing.
Cool.
Cool.
I like DC.
But I think that's a good waifu watch.
I think so. We knew exactly what we were talking about with those ones.
Yeah, and I'm glad that it was suggested, because I actually never really even thought about doing... Have we ever done a American cartoon for waifu watch before? I don't really know. Did we?
Maybe.
I can't remember. Now, we've done so few of them, I feel like it's something that we should just, like, know.
No, I don't think we've done that yet.
So maybe if people want to hear more American cartoon waifu watches, maybe we can work something out.
Hey, we'll do waifu watch all around.
So. We'll do waifu watch anywhere. If you want to know our waifus, we'll tell you. Okay, so now that we've talked about our waifus from DC and Marvel Universe, it's time to talk about what we're watching. Mm-hmm. And so we're still watching new stuff from the new season of anime. As to which we've talked about a couple, but I decided to check out one that Evan talked about on the last episode, which was Siren. I picked it up
myself. I did. I started watching Siren, too, after Evan recommended it.
I didn't like it. I wasn't a fan.
It's understandable. I know it isn't going to be an anime that a lot of people are going to like. It is going to be one that you're either going to like it or you're really going to hate it.
Yeah. I didn't really like it either, and it was mostly because I really hate the main character because he's a wimp, and I really hate the girl because she's a slutty bitch, and I was just like, wow, I don't care about either of these characters, I guess I'm not gonna watch it. I know that they change up the girls.
Yep, they just changed up the girl for episode 5.
Is it the black-haired girl for part 2? Yep. Okay, good, because that was the one that I kind of wanted to watch, see what she's like.
She was pretty good.
Yeah, she's a more interesting character, I think, but I'm kind of just seeing, like, oh, I know which direction this show is trying to go in, and I'm not interested.
Right, fair enough. It's not that great of a show, I will admit that, but it is entertaining in some way, shape, and form.
There were a couple of chuckles that I got out of it.
Yeah, I did think some of it was kind of funny, and I don't really know what it's trying to do. I think it's less of a romantic comedy and just more trying to go for romance.
I feel like it's just trying to mime what a visual novel would do if it was an anime form.
Yeah, I suppose. I just really hate that first girl. She's just not I don't know why that guy is attracted to her. I don't know why she's appealing. She is just gross and inappropriate and not flattering at all. So I was just like, why is he paying attention to her? It was like, it's kind of like watching Golden Time all over again.
Ouch.
Ouch, yeah. I do have a picture of her as a cat girl if you want me to send that. Maybe that might change your mind?
Sure, send it right over.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't really hate it. I don't dislike it to so much to a point where it is Golden Time. It's not Golden Time. It's not that bad. I'm not letting it get to that point because I'm more like, I'm not gonna watch it till I'm that disappointed in it kind of a thing. Like, I watched the first 2 episodes. I was like, all right, I see where this is going as far as a romance anime. Click. Kind of like what I said, where it's just like, I've been burned by so many romance animes that now I just know how to spot it to see where it's going. Like, I haven't even finished watching the second season of Chunibyo, because I'm just kind of like, it's not as good as the first season, and they're pushing it in a direction that I'm really not enjoying. I don't want to get burned by it. So I'm like watching it like once a month now instead of once a day.
Yeah, first season of Chunibyo was good. Second season is like disappointing.
Yeah, not so much. Yeah,
it was, you don't want to get Ori emo'd by this.
Well, see, Ori emo still kind of holds a special place in my heart, even though the ending is garbage, because the rest of the show is really good leading up to the ending.
Right, right. I wasn't a fan of the show. I know it was something that you really enjoyed, but I know that I'm surprised you didn't bring this up in the news. There's a new show from the creator of Ori emo that's coming out.
Actually completely had forgotten about
that. Well, we'll just be talking about eventually when the show comes out anyway, because I will be watching that. I actually knew about that. I think we did talk about that show a while back, because when I first heard it announced last year sometime, I brought it up because I was like, ooh, Ori emo, this is really cool. It's about a sister who is a porn artist, like, you know, and like the brother really likes the art or something like that, and then he finds out.
No
that it's his
way!
Sister.
Are they going to do the Wincest thing again?
Yeah, I think that's totally what it is. I think it's the same theme.
This guy needs to go to a doctor.
Japan, please stop pairing up brothers and sisters as couples.
But that'll be one for the. That'll be one for the queue.
Oh yeah, no, I'll be watching it. I'll totally be watching it.
You're disgusting. When does it come out?
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So I took one of your suggestions and I finally bit the bullet and watched The Saga of Tanya the Evil.
You bit the magic bullet.
Yeah, I still.
Yes,
haven't
I bit the magic
yet.
Bullet.
I'm a little behind on it. But only because my school semester started up again and I got a new job. So, so I haven't gotten 100% through all my anime. I still haven't watched the newest episode of Akiba Strip either. But Tanya the Evil, it's weird. Some people catch on to it and some people won't. I don't know.
You see, like, initially I didn't want to catch on to it because of what it was about. Like, it's kind of like this alt-Nazi 11-year-old girl. But at the same time, like, when I finally sat down and watched it, like, I was on a ride home. I had 2 hours to kill, so I just popped it on my phone and watched it. And what I like about the show is just, like, the character of Tanya, technically, she doesn't want to fight. She wants to be, like, in the comfortable position where she doesn't have to go and kill.
Yeah.
But yet, every time she tries to get away from it, she gets pushed further and further and further into the front lines.
Yeah.
And then just seeing her in action, like you said in your piece in the Winter Picks, under the honorable mentions, the animation for this is just flat out gorgeous and amazing, especially in the action sequences.
Yeah, it gives you this really Studio Bones vibe. Like, that's how good the animation is. I mean, Studio Bones is like, they're top notch when it comes to flying around in the sky being chased by magic bullets or missiles.
I will say, though, like, the show won me over with just this great, like, little comedic scene at the end of episode 2 where Tanya has to take the picture of herself wearing her brand new shiny medal. Mm-hmm. And there's this evil little motherfucker looking so cute and dainty in this little outfit. And it just made me roar with laughter.
I guess I should check it out in that case just to see what it's like. It's strange.
Like, it's one of those shows where I know I'm not supposed to root for Tanya the Evil because little Nazi girl. But I'm one of those people that wants to see just how far she's going to go up the ranks. I want to see how far she reaches it until she gets killed in the most horrific way.
Yeah, I cannot get behind Tanya. I love the show, and I'll keep watching it, but I just, like, honestly can't get behind Tanya. I was like, man, that is one evil little girl,
And I'm the same way. Like, I can't get behind her, but at the same time, I want to see how far she goes.
I've been watching something.
Okay.
And it's not part of the season at all. So I go to work early, and I have a lot of time to kill before I go to work. So usually I end up watching a couple episodes of anime, but now I've moved to a new building and we don't have Wi-Fi, so I can't watch Crunchyroll.
Wah, wah.
So I started watching anime that I've had collected on my computer.
Oh, that's right.
Like, animes that don't come out on DVD and don't have any licensing, nothing like that, so I go find them and I get them. And I've been watching, let me get the Japanese spelling of it, because it's like Diary of a Crazy Family, that's what it's called. The proper name of the show
is this Kieran Kazuko Nikki?
Yes, Kieran Kazuko. Yep, you're right. So I've been watching that, and I am. I'm 12 episodes in, but I'm about halfway through the series.
And people don't notice, but this was like one of my top 50 anime of my last 10 years when I did the No Borders No Race 10th anniversary. This is a show that is still criminally unlicensed, and it is so good.
It's so funny. Like, I enjoy watching every episode. It's so good.
But what I like about the show is it's so funny, it's so crazy, but then all of a sudden, like, it shows something, like, incredibly, like, dramatic that punches you right in the gut.
And you're right. I was just about to say that, where it's very much a thing where you watch it and you're like, wow, this is really funny, really goofy, and then it gets really serious. Even to the point where there's, like, a little bit of bloodshed, even, from time to time. And you're like, what? And then it goes back to being funny. And the characters are so charming, because they're all on this secret mission, but it's all orchestrated by this cat girl demon, or god. She, like, marries, or quote-unquote marries, this guy who's from the, you know, Paranormal Phenomenon Bureau, and he's, like, really high-ranking up there, but he doesn't seem like it, which is really funny, and he's, like, the level-headed one, and then they have, you know, a jellyfish, a robot, a lion, a little girl.
A brother and sister, and they have a cross-dresser.
Yeah, no, the cross-dressing, or, like, he's a very flamboyant man. That is their brother. That's the brother, because they don't have... And Genka, who is the jellyfish, do we know if it's a male or a female? Like, it never really says.
It does. You do find out that she's a female.
Yeah. So that's what I thought. I thought that Genka was a female.
I know we were talking about, like, dark aspects, but the backstory of Hyoka and, like, the friend that he makes while he's in, like, training.
That was the last episode I watched. So I'm because I'm only halfway through it. So,
did your, like, jaw hit the floor like mine did?
No, not really, but because it was kind of like, oh yeah, I can see that. But it's still really nice because they're developing all these characters to be really important, and they're all really starting to like one another and respect one another as, like, a real family. And the cat girl, Kyoka, the cat girl, is just so cute. Like, she's so maniacal and evil in a way, but she's so good hearted. That she's not actually evil. She's just very, very pompous and very, very prideful. And it's so funny because, especially in her love-hate relationship with the husband character, how she actually likes him. And even though they're only playing a husband-wife role, you start to learn that she really likes him. And it's funny to watch them interact. Especially when the Grim Reaper character shows up and the Grim Reaper character truly is in love with that guy. And the whole jealousy feud starts.
Yeah,
it's really good. I've loved every episode I've watched.
No, like I said, it's very it's like up there with like Nagasarate Iroto, two shows that are just criminally unlicensed. Someone should really release this on Blu-ray. Discotech.
That would be awesome. I would love if Discotech got it. So that is what we're watching. Let's move on to our topic.
Yeah.
Our topic today was brought up to us a while ago by a fan, Mike, who said that he wanted us to talk about the evolution of the character design, which is very appropriate because we've been talking about for this whole season how every show is pretty cute.
Yeah, like, it's true. Our description of every show so far that we've talked about is it's cute. Even
it's like, I love it, it's so cute and adorable.
Yeah, even the show Diary of a Crazy Family is cute. Right? It's really cute. It's one of those shows where they're like, oh, let's plug in our algorithm and see if we can make a cute character. And they do.
Well, the one thing that we crossed over into was the Moe era. We went from, you know, the 90s era of anime that I don't even know what you would call it, straight into this Moe era.
In the 90s, it was really focused on action anime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you had things like I almost said One Piece, which is true. One Piece did start in there, but
Ronin Warriors,
Cowboy Bebop, Ronin Warriors,
Rurouni Kenshin,
Inuyasha, Rurouni Kenshin, yeah. Outlaw Star. That was a specific style Slayers. Of anime. Yes, well, Slayers was more like the Tenchi Muyo style stuff, but yes. It was still based on that because Tenchi Muyo and Slayers, even though it was a comedy and a harem,
they were still action packed.
Yeah, they were filled with action. Like, it's like there had to be action in it. So, yeah, you had this style of anime that really geared you towards an action style, even though it could be cute at times, and Tenchi Muyo was very cute at times, but it wasn't for that. Oh, another one, Gunsmith Cats.
Yes.
So you had, like, you had the Cowboy Bebop style of animation, and then you had the Slayers, Tenchi, Gunsmith Cats style of animation. Mm-hmm. Which is really good stuff.
I miss that era.
I
Me too.
Super missed that era. Not to say that, because we still like shows today, but where was that transition? See, my first exposure to the Moe era, and we knew that things were changing, was when K-On! Came out.
Yeah, K-On! Was the first one that really took off. And
because everybody watched K-On!, everybody loved K-On!, and then they were like, guys, we have to...
Yeah, this is Moe.
Make it K-On!. Like everybody said, you have to make this show K-On!.
You know, mm-hmm. It's really interesting to think about, because when you think about... Because that's more the late 2000s, you know, and, like, getting closer to 2010 era, like, 2000, like the 2000 teens, like, that we're in right now.
Was it really that recent?
More or less.
If you think about it, like, the aspects of what Kyoanimation was starting to do with Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, with the character of Mikuru, who is basically, like, the queen of Moe, because that's why she was brought into SOS Brigade, because she's a Moe girl.
Yeah, look at the size of her boobs.
Well, and that was the thing that I was going to bring up, was think about shows that came around in the early 2000s. They had this, it was when they were first experimenting with the really crisp lines of computer drawn animation.
Yeah.
Digital.
And you had like Hikai J and Cowdy Ragtime Show and like programs like that.
Well, think about Elf and Lead.
Fooly Cooly. Mm-hmm.
No, not even Fooly Cooly. Fooly Cooly still had a hand drawn look to it almost, because it was kind of grunge.
Yeah.
In a style. But Elf and Lead, when you watch it, is very smooth and very clean. And there's not a lot of roughness to it, and there's a lot of sliding graphics. Because when you had that computer style, it's very different than when you slid a cell, when it was hand-drawn. If you slid a cell and to animate it, it looked different than when a computer animates a slid cell. So you had that a lot with things like Elf and Lead, even shows like Pokemon and like the newer ages of Pokemon, like the style completely changed. And most of the kids' shows actually, like Yu-Gi-Oh!, like there was just this whole shift. And it was this weird medium of between the hand-drawn era and the Moe era that we're currently in right now. So that was a really interesting style because it was still trying to find its style.
It's weird because it's almost like we didn't notice it. Like of course we noticed it in a way, but we just full on accepted it. There's this meme that goes around online where it puts studios next to each other.
Yeah.
It's like saying, here's Bones in the 90s and here's Bones today.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that was awesome.
Here's Kyoani in the 90s, here's Kyoani today. And then like, and the shows that they made, like the most popular shows that they put out versus the most popular shows that they have now, and how the era has changed. It's kind of weird because it makes me think, where are we going to go beyond this? What's going to be the next thing that anime is going to look like? We have the 90s and now we have now, and how different they looked. Almost as if the drawings from the 90s were more human. They had a more human aspect to them where, yeah, there were cartoon characters, but they also had the more human aspect to them.
It was stylized human.
Yeah, where now you clearly get cartoon characters. They still look human, but they're much more cartoon than they are human.
Well, because they're aiming for cute.
Right. But what are we going to go to beyond this? What's going to be the next style of anime that's going to go beyond the Moe era? Or are we stuck there?
Well, but isn't that the question that we really don't know? Because I'm sure when you were looking at 90s anime, you know, we're just like, oh, Dragon Ball Z, I think we're stuck here. Like, is anime ever going to change? You know, we just didn't have any kind of idea when it came to that. Mm. Even we kind of skipped an era altogether where, because we'd start talking about the 90s, the early 2000s, and now the 2010s. Yep. But we haven't talked about the 80s yet. You know, because when anime was in the 80s, that's when you really had stuff that looked even more like Slayers and Gunsmith Cats. And
a little bit grittier than like what it was in the 90s.
Dirty Pair.
I always like to think of Ranma, all those kinds of good shows. They kind of focused on cute as well.
They look cute, yep.
Yeah.
When you do that, but they focused a lot on facial expressions the same way that they're doing right now. But the facial expression reaction shots that we're doing right now is not the same as back then, where
In the 80s, they would have, like, a longer, drawn-out reaction to things, and they would create, like, a facial expression that was completely, like, the Sailor Moon type thing, where their face would completely change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did that so much in Ranma, it was really good.
But, like, compared to, like, what they do today, like, with Konosuba, where, like, every facial expression is totally different from the past one.
Konosuba is a little different. Konosuba is its own monster that they really have kind of made their own. Actually, this is really, it's really ironic that we're talking about this today, because, well, Wicked Fan Scott actually sent us over a Patreon page that we should kind of plug. Mm-hmm. And I actually know who this guy is. He animates in an 80s style animation. Paul Odeking Johnson. He's the one who made that TIE Fighter short.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He worked 7 years on it, weekends, every weekend.
Yeah.
For 7 years, he worked on this this fan animation for TIE Fighters that looks quasi-80s.
Yeah, almost like that early morning, Saturday morning cartoon
sort of look. And he's really good at it. He's really good at drawing that style. His animation is really good as well. It's not, like, what, fully professional, but it's pretty darn close.
It kind of reminded me of a, like, a Daft Punk music video.
Well, and the thing that I don't want to make it sound like I'm bad mouthing him at all, because he's really good, because he works professionally.
Yep.
As an animator. The reason why I say it's semi good animation is because he does it all by himself, mm-hmm. and that's really hard to do. Working on animations to the scale that he has. He has, like, transforming robots and mechanized machinery.
You essentially gotta build a machine over and over again.
It's insanity. Like, so this guy, Paul Odeking Johnson, has a Patreon up now, and, you know, because he wants to make animating 80s-style fan animation his full-time work.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. And I believe he can do it. And his animation looks 80s. It's I'm looking at his stuff right now. It's just, it's so good. It's just so cool. I know that, I think Nerdy Show was posting around the TIE Fighter short for a while. But it's neat stuff. And I really love the 80s. You know, that's the era that brought us the OVA, mm-hmm. and gore and violence and that really grungy, filthy era of we're gonna do whatever we want.
Yeah, that's HBO era.
Yes. So you got things, everything that Go Nagai does, mm-hmm. you know, all the Devil Mans and Violence Jacks and the insanity that it comes along with that, that lets us make, you know, hardcore anime happen.
Yeah. It's kind of the same way that Hollywood movies, which Evan brought up an interesting point that I want to talk about after this.
Yeah.
That Hollywood movies, they go through a trend where it's like, oh, what kind of movie, what genre movie is going to make money nowadays? Oh, everybody's feeling down? Comedies are going to be what's going to make a lot of money these days. Oh, everybody's feeling safe? An action movie, you know.
Yes.
Like, we're on the brink of peace, let's do an action movie. You know, people like action. So, but Evan, you brought up a point that I want you to repeat again, too.
About the animation style?
Yeah, for
well, the thing about that is, like, animation style doesn't just evolve over in Japan. It evolves across the world. I mean, we were talking about, like, how cute all these characters and creations are in this current season of anime. But if you look at, like, Western animation, too, I mean, the characters from Adventure Time, they're cute and adorable, especially like Princess Bubblegum and Marceline the Vampire Queen. You watch Regular Show, those characters are adorable to watch. You watch Wakfu, those characters are adorable to watch. Even Steven Universe, those characters are adorable to watch. It's not just Japan that's going full-blown with the cute, it's everybody that's going full-blown with the cute. But with the cuteness comes great storytelling. So it's like, come for like the design, but stay for something deep and meaningful.
I think that you bring up an interesting point, especially because Japan seems to do something a little different that that America doesn't, which Japan puts in a lot more focus onto their character designs and their animation. Or rather, not their animation. Their animation suffers, actually, from how complex their drawings are. So they can't draw as many pictures. But we, in America, have such simple character designs that we can draw animation so well because we have such simple characters that we can move shapes a lot easier.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Steven Universe, which everything nowadays has to look like Steven Universe in order to be popular.
Right.
It's kind of stuck in this limbo, like the Moe era is in Japan, where right now, if it doesn't look like Steven Universe, then the chances are it's not going to catch on as well.
Yeah,
right.
If you go to like an artist alley at an anime convention and stuff like that, you will see half of the artists are drawing like Steven Universe. Make it like Steven Universe. But isn't that the case with all anime as well? Like, if you live in Japan, your stuff is going to look anime.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And so like, we have this era in the United States where everybody's trying to draw Adventure Time and Steven Universe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm not. I don't follow the trends of drawing. But a lot of people are. And it's quite amazing because I almost feel like walking up to them and say, hey, draw your own stuff. Don't make it look like Steven Universe. But then I'd have to walk up to every anime artist as well and say, hey, don't draw anime. Draw your own stuff.
Yeah, draw your own stuff. Don't make it look like anime. Yeah, it's true. Which you probably have to do for Artist Alley too in some cases. Like, hey, draw your own stuff. Don't make it look like anime.
Well, no. And see, when you go to an Artist Alley, a lot of people do draw their own stuff. Like and that's where fan art comes in.
Yeah.
You know, where they're drawing fan art of their favorite characters in their style. But it's usually like, hey, I drew Lucy from Elf and Lied as an Adventure Time character. Right. So it's like, oh, great, thanks.
Which actually would make a really funny picture, you gotta admit.
Oh, no, that'd be really cool. You always have the era of like, oh, this animation style is really popular. I'm gonna learn to draw like that.
So, I mean, look at the animation style that was like in the late 80s. Like, everything looked like G.I. Joe or Transformers.
Or Thundercats, yeah.
Or Thundercats. Yeah,
and it's true. And if you actually think about how simple DC's strong, Warner Brothers, like when Warner Brothers animation comes out and there's always a new DC movie, DC animation is really, really simple because their characters are drawn to be animated.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, if you watch a DC show, even like their movies, they either have only one shade of shadow or no shade at all. Yep. They're flat characters. If you watch the original Batman or Superman show, their colors are blank slates, which makes, back then it was painting cells, made everything so much faster. You just slap on a coat of paint and you send it to the printer. Like, it made things go so much faster. And Evan, you said that it allows the stories to be a lot more, to shine through a lot easier. And I think that's true. But also, a story isn't necessarily affected by how a show looks. The style can portray a certain feeling, but that can also be changed, like in the sense of a show like Higurashi, where everybody was cute, but it was a horror show.
Right.
And so you're expecting something, but the story turns everything on its head. So that's a different technique altogether that actually isn't on topic, but it is fascinating. But a story can be driven regardless of how well something is animated. Like, Japan animates maybe 4 frames a second, and that they can still tell the same story that Steven Universe does at 24 frames a second, which it kind of is like the same thing. A story can be told in a novel with no pictures at all.
Right.
You know, there's no animation to books, but they could still tell a story just as good as anything else. Right.
So, right.
But, animation altogether, you know, art style, it depends on how complex you want to go. It affects the animation.
Yeah. What did anime in the 70s look like?
Well, like
Lupin the Third.
Yeah, Lupin the Third, Astro Boy.
Yeah, well, Astro Boy was more the 60s.
Yeah, but even still, they have that same era. Like, if you think about really, really old Lupin, Lupin the Third, they're still frames with just like 2-frame mouths moving.
Was Battleship Yamato?
Yep, that was 70s. Yep. The first Devilman was 70s. Mazinger Z was 70s. But like,
Gonagai did come out from the 70s, didn't it?
Yeah. But when you think of like going back to Lupin, when you look at that character design style, the creator, Monkey Punch, took a lot of his character design inspiration from Mad Magazine.
That makes sense.
So it's like, if you ever remember those like those Mad Magazine little comics from like Sergio Arganos, the guy who created Gru, that's where Monkey Punch got his idea for the design for Lupin the Third, was his character designs.
That doesn't surprise me at all. But it's fascinating, truly fascinating. Like we watched a thing on YouTube about gunsmith cats, and
oh my gosh, I love gunsmith cats.
Gunsmith cats. The creator of Gunsmith Cats is obsessed with America and especially our guns, and he had to come to America to make the OVA for the show because you can't get a hold of guns in Japan, and you can't like fire them anywhere. They don't have firing ranges. So he had to come to America to get a permit to shoot a gun so that he could accurately do his OVA for Gunsmith Cats.
So good. And just as a side note, if you guys haven't seen Gunsmith Cats, you have to.
It's fun.
And it is a great fun series. And it's very nostalgic. Mm-hmm. I really wish it was more than a 4-episode OVA. Mm-hmm. So you guys, and if you find it on DVD, you're going to find it for like $80.
I also love how the creator originally, like his first series was Riding Bean, but Riding Bean didn't do so well. So he took Riding Bean and he put him in Gunsmith Cats.
Yeah. Which is funny because Riding Bean is considered one of the top animes.
Yeah.
You know, up there with Fist of the North Star and JoJo's Bizarre
Adventure. But it didn't do well. It didn't take off. It only had like one run.
Because it's a manime. Yeah. And manimes are not... JoJo's is probably the most popular manime out there.
Mm-hmm. But Fist of the North Star went for hundreds of episodes.
But Fist of the North Star is also kind of niche. Like, it's not very...
Yeah, that's
true. It's not like everybody's like, oh my gosh, Fist of the North Star. Like, it's all about, you know,
although,
everything
think
else.
About, like, every time, like, you watch, like, an anime comedy and there's a fight scene, at least... There'll be like a 70% chance of one of those characters going, what?
That's very true.
They do it in Diary of a Crazy Family. There
yes.
Was like, to the point where she was like, and then it even ended in a hot ta! Like, I was like, oh my gosh, Missile North Star. That's great.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So.
But I do agree that you see a lot more influence of JoJo than you do a Fist in the North Star. Like, even watching something like No Game, No Life, there's just out of nowhere, there's a pose of JoJo.
There's the JoJo faces. And they did it in Food Wars this
year. Yeah, they did JoJo. Oh my gosh. I can't believe that how much they're parodying JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Especially because JoJo's Bizarre Adventure has been around since the 80s.
Yeah.
It started in the 80s era, and people are only parodying it now because it hasn't been popular until now.
Right.
Was finally reached that iconic level. Like, it's finally gotten to that peak where, okay, it's time to give JoJo its due process.
It sucks that it had to be that long, though, because it's been around for so long, and now people are like, oh my gosh, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is great.
Well,
yeah, no duh, we've known this.
Yeah, well, it helps that they finally were able to do a faithful anime adaptation of it.
Yeah.
And that was just recently when they started doing that. And I feel like that's what helped to push its popularity even further.
So final thoughts on this topic. Are we going to go cuter from here on, or do you think we're going to have a resurgence back to the old era? Because we have had sneak previews of that, like Cabinery of the Iron Fortress and Attack on Titan.
Yep.
And even JoJo. But are we going to be stuck in an era, do you think,
I think everything that goes up will eventually come back down. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to have like a wave almost where in the 70s, 60s and 70s was the early beginnings of anime. And then the 80s started experimenting with cute, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. But you had shows like Ranma and you had shows like Violence Jack with Go Nagai. And then, but then you go up to the 90s and it was full action.
Yep.
So it kind of moved up from there. And then you go up and you have shows like Haruhi Suzumiya and Elfin Lied with that cutish style and Higurashi. So you're starting to get cuter as you go up. And now we're in, you know, the 2010s where everything is so freaking cute that you can hardly stand it.
And eventually we're not going to be able to stand it. It reminds me of actually the video game era where there was a time where everybody loved their N64s and even before that their Nintendos. And then everybody needed AAA titles. You know, it was like AAA titles are what's going to make it with, oh, God of War, Call of Duty.
And now we're sick and tired of those.
Then they masturbate all over their game discs, and they're like, "Well, now I can't play this anymore."
But
it's okay because they're also those stupid games.
Right, and then they had to go back to their retro style stuff, and now everybody's playing downloadable content retro games that are made by four or five people.
So maybe, what was the anime that came out really recently that we were, oh, it was Izetta, where we were like, Izetta really looks like an 80s anime character.
Yeah.
So, maybe
which, by the way, Izetta versus Tanya, that needs to happen.
So who knows, maybe we will see the gradual slope back down to bringing back that 80s style, which I would be so jazzed about.
Me too. Holy crap, that'd be pretty cool,
because 80s and 90s animes are my favorites.
We gotta fund Oda King, and you know, to show that that's what we want,
but not before you fund nerdyshow.com.
That's a good point. Yeah, before we move on to some fan service, we should talk about Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime being... Nerdy Show is a listener-supported network. And you can support us through means like Patreon, or and you can donate to us every month, or you can do one-time donations on nerdyshow.com/support, and you can get access to cool stuff. You get hours of content from just going to all that. Through all that stuff. If you give us a dollar, you'll get some pretty cool stuff. If you give us $5, you get even more cool stuff. But if you can't give monetarily, the best thing that you can do, besides telling a friend, hey, you should listen to this show or any show on the Nerdy Show Network, you should go into iTunes and you should give not only the Nerdy Show Network as a whole a 5-star rating and an awesome review if you want to, but also Wicked Anime, you can give us a 5-star rating and an awesome review, and we'll read it on the show because we love it. Like, every time anybody does that, we like our hearts go out to you guys. We love you guys supporting us, because without you guys, we wouldn't be here. And in order for us to keep going, you got to keep supporting us, because we are listener supported and you guys make it happen. And thank you so much, because we love doing this.
Yes.
Yep. So, speaking of you guys supporting us, we got some fan service.
Yeah, and I know we said we had a crap ton of fan service. Well, half of it was because you guys sent us the Virgin Killer sweater. and we thank you so much. Like, you guys know us so well that it's hilarious. So
the fan service killer sweater.
Like,
now.
We got so many special or messages sent to the Wicked Anime inbox on Facebook, and it was all like, hey, you got to do the Virgin Killer sweater.
Can I do this one first?
Sure. And it looks like we have one over on SoundCloud.
We do. I missed it a long time ago, which I'm sorry, because I need to. Our fan Dorian, Wicked Fan Dorian, sent us a message talking about... Remember a while back when we were talking about Jesse and James from Pokemon saying in a movie that they were cousins?
Yes, yeah. I was actually going to bring this up because we have another Pokemon thing coming up later. So I was going to bring this up anyway.
So I didn't know this. I had to go look it up because I was fascinated.
I looked it up myself too.
Apparently, they were like, yes, it's confirmed that they're cousins in the movies, but in the manga, there is a point where James proposes to Jesse.
Yeah.
And that comic, that manga chapter ends with a very clearly pregnant Jesse at the end of it. Like,
yeah.
And they're happy. There's me out there. They're a happy family. There's
James. Yeah, they're not Team Rocket anymore.
Yeah, there's James over Jesse's shoulder, and they have, like, this very happy family portrait with her, with Jesse, with, like, a 9-month baby bump. And it's, like, the sweetest thing. And you can look it up. You can look up Jesse James Married or Jesse James Manga, and it'll come up. It's one of the most iconic things from the Pokemon manga. And I didn't know. Dorian, he sent this along to us, and, like, I was floored. So, yeah. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, because I loved finding that out. The fact that... But here's the question, though. Were they still cousins?
I don't think they'd be still cousins after that.
Well, no. The thing is, I think in the TV series they said that they were cousins, but I don't think in the manga they ever said that.
No, I don't think so either. I think that might have been something that they added to the TV series.
So here's the thing. Was the movie confirmation that they were cousins a Japanese confirmed thing, or was that a Four Kids?
No, that was a Japanese thing. They actually didn't do that in the Four Kids one.
Okay, so it wasn't a Sailor Moon, they're not lesbians, they're cousins thing.
Right.
Okay, just making sure. All right, so then it was actually made specifically for the TV series, so that they didn't have to go through the where do babies come from mommy sort of thing.
But yeah, I think when it comes to shipping, rocket shipping has always been the best. Yeah. Like, ever since the 90s, rocket shipping has always been the best thing on the face of the planet.
Rocket shipping.
That's what it's been called. Really? You didn't know that?
No, I've never heard
of
that.
Yeah, rocket shipping. That's what it's always been called.
That's hilarious. Does that mean that... Would One Piece shipping be pirate
yes,
shipping?
Yes, it would
yeah,
be
pirate shipping. Pirate They'd be plundering each other's booty. Yarr!
Back to fan service. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Dorothy, because that is amazing, and we did not know that. Now our brains have exploded because you introduced this to us.
What was the other Pokemon thing you had?
Coming from Wicked Fan Scott with Pokemon Waifu Watch. This was his comments on episode 103 and the wikis.
Mm-hmm.
He said... Pokemon Waifu Watch. I got a few husbando. Number one is Brock. Yes. He said, on the games, Lily is the number one waifu, and number one ship with her is female trainer from Sun and Moon.
Mm.
Which I haven't played Sun and Moon yet, so I don't know anything about that. He says, Jesse and James I call as canon because Pokeballs of Steelix and James E. Rocket. Now, Scott, we have just told you that, in fact, Jesse and James is canon. Like, how amazing is that? Yeah. So, not even because of Pokeballs of Steelix, but because of official Pokemon manga.
Oh, I know who Lily is from Pokemon Sun and Moon, by the way. She's exploded
yeah.
all over the internet when she came out. I actually now know who she is now that yeah. I've looked her up.
He said, in anime for families, the original dub for Crayon Shin-Chan... was one I watched with my dad when I was a child in the late 90s, which is pretty funny that you watch Shin-Chan with your parents.
Mm. Well, because back cool. then there was a dub in Hawaii where the character of Shin-Chan was played by E.G. Daily, the voice of Tommy Pickles from Rugrats. And it was very kid-friendly.
Huh.
And it only aired in Hawaii because the rest of the country, they didn't want to show, you know, Shin-Chan, you know, without his pants and his stuff.
Yep. he said, on the Christmas demands, I don't have one, but there is a ski jumping manga called, No, which is done by Lin Okamoto.
That's probably the sound that I would make if I'm skiing.
No, train.
Yeah. Unless it's no, or something like that. I don't know. But, yeah, Lin Okamoto, the author and writer of Elf and Lied, did this skiing anime, and I did not know that, because I thought he only did dark stuff. Unless it's a really dark skiing anime.
It could be dark. It
a
could
ski
be
jumping
dark.
Anime.
Yeah. It could be like that movie Frozen. And no, not the Disney movie Frozen. I'm talking about the one where they're stuck on the ski lift and then they get frostbite.
Yeah.
Keith Hodder in that real small
role. And eaten by wolves.
Yeah, and eaten by wolves.
On the wikis, anime style game, I will say that, Shantae, half genie hero.
Yep.
So he agrees with you, Scott. Evan. Scott agrees with you, Evan. There we go. Because you also said Shantae, half genie hero, right?
Well, Shantae is kind of like my video game waifu, but the video game Shantae, half genie hero was seriously like one of the best video games of last year. It was number two on my list. Number one was Valhalla, the cyberpunk bartender's
yes.
action game.
Yep.
But Shantae Half Genie Hero absolutely is a game that everybody should go out and play and buy.
I really want to.
It's so weird how Shantae has stayed so underground, but yet they're so good.
I know, that's why I'm trying to push it out more. Come on, more people, buy the game.
Moving on a little bit, this is actually a little bit outdated because we got a tweet from Scott much later about him. He had a conversation with us about Konosuba.
Yeah.
So continuing, he said, I'm going to try Konosuba and see if, from my British perspective, if what Evan said is true. It's going to be the first anime I watched since Luluko.
And what did he say?
I forget. We have it tweeted right here. I have the tweet up right here.
He said it was like at the 10-minute mark when he was all in for this show of the first episode. Because there was...
Yeah.
And he pointed out a visual gag that I had never even seen myself in Konosuba.
Yeah, that's right. So yes, Scott is now watching Konosuba, and he also likes it. See, guys, we would never lead you astray. Konosuba is a wonderful anime that Sarah doesn't like.
Well, listen. That brings up an important thing that we're currently working on. We're currently trying to raise money so she can get a funny bone marrow transplant.
And then finally in this email, because we actually have a second email from Scott, he says, in the winter 2017 shows, I decided to watch Nyanko Days because it's It is the cutest little cat girls ever.
Nyanko is love.
Nyanko is love.
Blood is gross. Cyborgs for life. Yeah, so that's pretty funny that Nyanko Days is fun to watch, and it doesn't really waste my time at
all. It doesn't waste your time. That's why I keep watching it.
Yeah, so... No, but otherwise, it's kind of creepy because of the little cat girls, but I agree. I mean,
oh, come on, you want plushies of those cat girls, don't you?
See, if I had plushies, then it would make sense because they were plushies. If they were actually little tiny humans like that, I'd be like, what is that thing?
You're going to go over there.
Scott's episode 105 feedback, he says, Akiba's trip. You've played the second game.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know Akiba's first trip was the second game.
Yeah, so the first one is the one that has the non-vampire vampires like this, mm-hmm. like from the show. The one that we played has like the actual vampires.
So where is the original game? This one was
a PSP title.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why no one remembers it.
Wow. Yeah.
I do remember a PSP title coming out for it.
But I thought it was the same thing.
I thought it was the same thing, too. I thought this was, like, the port.
Yeah.
It was a PSP
port.
What
I thought. Too. That's what I thought as well.
So, I guess we were wrong.
Oh. That's disappointing.
He also said, because he's saying, I am watching Nyanko Days, Dragon Maid from the season so far. This is more anime than I've watched last year in total. Which, he chose... Dragon Maid is amazing.
Can I just say how in love with the soundtrack I am with that show? Like, everything is so good about Dragon Maid, but that soundtrack is just amazing.
Yeah.
Pixar-level whimsical.
I too love the soundtrack, but again, the characters are so cute.
Yes.
The characters are so cute.
It's like the Monster Girls are teaching us important life lessons in Dragon Maid and both Interviews with Monster Girls.
And then he says, aggressive Retsuko, I am glad that they are doing a promotion in America, but you could have been watching the awesomeness for months. I have been missing episodes... So I can catch up. There are 41 subtitled 1-minute episodes out. Aggressive Retsuko.
Yeah, about the red fox who sings metal.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's been out for a long time.
I haven't been watching it.
Nope, neither have
I. Where can you find it?
I don't know.
Because I really want to watch it.
Yeah, but we talked about it way too late.
Yep.
And it's been around for a long time.
Yep.
Old news.
He says, the 2017 New Year episode is amazing. Screw you, Destiny, indeed. That's it so far.
So I have one from Big Bad Shadow Man, and he responded to his thoughts. See, okay, so our Sentai guy, Big Bad Shadow Man, and Giant Robot and Giant Monsters, he is weighing in on his thoughts for the Power Rangers trailer. He loved the design of the putties, which I think is true. Like, they're these golem creatures instead of the guys that running around just go, boo! Although I wonder if they're actually going to make a sound in the movie. I'm actually looking forward to finding out whether or not they do that. But he hated Goldar. Goldar. He thinks it's lazy. The design was no good. And, I mean, I'm going to tell you, he's just like a human, like an anthropomorphic gold thing. But Matt Frank released his own Goldar redesign for... the movie, and it's a lot better. Just a little bit more appealing, you know?
Yep.
Matt Frank's a good artist.
Matt Frank is a really good artist. Mm. I think Big Bad has the right to have him as his favorite artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's pretty solid. He does some really amazing kaiju monsters.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's just really strange that... Because I had never seen the movie Goldar before... Which he does look pretty lazy.
It looks like he's just a big golden golem.
Yeah. It's like the lazy man's, the way that I saw it, it's the lazy man's Guillermo del Toro drawing.
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah. You
know? He's like Meltman from Action League Now.
Action League Now.
Meltman with the power to melt.
All right.
He's super
up,
strong and he's super naked. You can't do that in today's TV, by the way.
I know, seriously.
Next up, we have an email from Tempsu. And I really love this, because Tempsu just sent us, like, the best thing ever. He says, specifically,
I had an I am such a weeb moment.
Okay.
Like our weebiest moment of the year from the wikis.
Yeah.
He says, I was browsing the Transformers wiki, as one does, and came upon the Japanese pronunciation for windblade, windowedo. And he says, I thought to myself, huh, I can see blade in that spelling. I wonder what the first word sounds like. And once I had said it out loud, and said it louder for a second time, it was at that point I realized that the name is literally just broken English windblade, and my shame was made manifest.
You know, it's funny because if you just like read those words together, then like your accent is atrocious. But if you read it as if you were a angry Japanese man, like if you read it as if you were pretend you're Beat Takeshi and you're saying words, like your accent immediately gets better.
Windobredo. Yeah. Windblade. So that's funny, man. Thank you for saying
that. I love that they do that. I think that we could do an entire section on our show of just finding those words and reading them.
Frostbeard was felt sufficed with my answer, by the way.
For now.
Yeah.
For now. Yeah, Sean, Wicked Fan Sean did say he was satisfied with the answer for Waifu Watch on Pokemon. For now.
I don't want to bang Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't either. Please don't. Please don't do that again.
Cease and desist. You make me uncomfortable. Need to go in a safe space. Anyways, so next episode. Very exciting. You know what month it is next month, Andrew?
Are we starting Con Month next month?
Next month is Con Month!
Oh my gosh. Guys, we're going to be starting Con Month. Wait, are you sure? It's so fun.
Yep. And our next episode, we're recording on February 19th. However, that recording doesn't get released until March 2nd. And March 2nd is Con Month!
Wow.
Cause,
because the very end of March... March 31st is when we're going to Anime Boston.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh boy, guys.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to start planning some special stuff for you guys because we love Con Month.
Con Month is so much fun for us because we get to improvise and just talk about convention crawls. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Talk about stories. All that stuff.
So if you guys want to join in on our conversation that we just had about the era of anime and character design, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post news and articles and our podcasts, and you guys can chat with us, and we can talk about Anime Boston. It was great. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can, if you're not already listening to this podcast there, you can also listen to it at SoundCloud and iTunes. And you can also watch our videos on nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, but you can also find our videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. You can find us at all the social medias. You can find us on Tumblr at wickedanime.tumblr.com. You can tweet us at @YoWickedAnime on Twitter. And of course, you can find us on
YouTube.
YouTube. What? I already said YouTube.
You did?
Yeah.
I always tune out.
It doesn't matter. You guys know by now. You guys know where to find us by now. Everything's fine. Another place you can find us is Twitch, maybe, because we like to play video games every once in a while, but not too often. So don't expect it too much, but it's there at wickedanaplay.twitch.tv.
Twitch.tv/wickedanaplay.
Yeah, that one.
Evan knows where to find us. He's our fan.
And I think that's it for now, because I'm getting tired and very sick and I gotta go watch the Super Bowl. Evan, go.
All right, so for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. On Twitch at twitch.tv/OmniStreetInc, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and on facebook.com/Land of Ash. Don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Rook, and Nerd Crave, and hopefully by the time this episode is aired, there will be a new episode of The Unboxing on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Electric Sisterhood, where I get to open up the Nendoroid of everyone's favorite douchebag, Aqua from Konosuba. Oh.
I love Aqua.
Yeah. She's such a dick.
I love her crying tantrums. She does the best crying tantrums ever.
Yeah.
Kazuma
is mean to me.
Purification.
Oh yeah, no, she's so I love the whole cast of Konosuba. That's another show that I watch. That I watch like the whole opening to every time. It's just so fun.
Oh my god, hey, the opening is like the best opening of the season so far because it's just so funny. Like it prepares you for the laughter that's about to happen.
Yeah. I love the part in the opening when Darkness is like raising the sword to the exploding rocks and like that's my favorite part.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, here we go. Here it comes.
Here we go. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We got to go watch Super Bowl LI. What number is that?
51.
51. 51. Super Bowl LI.
Lee.
Super Bowl Lee. So thank you for listening. We will see you in the next episode when we start talking about con stuff because it's con month. Woo!
Yay, con month, my favorite.
And we'll sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye!
K-bye!
Looks like the recording got really quiet.
It did. It did. I yelled. I screamed. I went, it's con month.
Ah, I see.
Woo! And it got really quiet. And it's like, hey man, you're being too loud. And now it's like, hey, now you're not being too loud. Now it's getting back up. Now it's starting to trust me again.
Yep.
The microphone has trust issues because it's like, don't scream at me like that because I'm afraid. And now it's like, but I'll come back to you like a dog that gets kicked and it still wants to be fed.
Oh, geez. That good analogy there, buddy.
Sure. All right.
That's awful.
Oh, my gosh. I hate that. I hate that I just said that.
Mm. You can cut it out.
It's probably going to go at the end.
Wicked A! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.